for your right to party!
You're listening to the Arrowhead Live Podcast Network.
Thank you, Kansas City. We did it, baby!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Aftermath Podcast. I am your host, Christopher Tenpenny, joined by my co-host, CJ Jones. And CJ, we know who the Kansas City Chiefs will be playing in the divisional round, and it's the Los Angeles... Oh, wait. It's the Jacksonville Jaguars after the... after a complete collapse by the Chargers on Saturday. We can get into that game a little bit, but for the most part, how are you feeling about the Jaguars? You called it. That was your pick last week. You said they were going
to
win.
I like the Jaguars to win the game, Chris, but I did not think it would be after Trevor Lawrence, a.k.a. Sunshine, would throw four interceptions. I repeat, four interceptions in the first half. Jesus Christ, that game was – we've had so many high adrenaline games this year, given the 33 comeback with the Vikings and the Colts. Mm-hmm. This game like that, I immediately thought – I knew they could come back, but when he threw the fourth interception, Chris, I'm not going to lie, I started shaking my head. I was like, yeah, maybe they're going to lose.
Oh, yeah, no.
I was like, four. It's just four interceptions? Like, God, Lord.
Yeah, I was the same way. When I was out watching the game a little bit, and I saw it was 27-0, I was like, okay, I don't have to really watch this game anymore. Can do whatever, you know, like, and just like, chilling. Right. Yeah. And then I looked on down and I saw it was 20-30, and I was like, "Ooh, okay, okay." And I turned it back on at that point, and it was like, it's just classic Chargers fashion, and it's weird how, you know, even though that's Chargers fashion, classic I was Chargers. Still a little worried about the Chargers coming in for round three just because of how close they always play the Chiefs.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And this isn't to say that Jacksonville could not beat Kansas City because they are a much different team than we saw back in, what, week 10.
Mm-hmm.
But if you told me, if you gave me a choice, I would much rather the Chiefs be playing the Jaguars this week just because I think the talent outside of Lawrence is a lot less around them as an organization. So,
no, 100%. When you play a team like the Chargers, we've seen so many divisional games this weekend, Chris. We saw the Dolphins go up to Buffalo with a third-string quarterback and almost pull it off. We saw the Ravens go into Cincinnati with a second-string quarterback and almost pull it off. Tyler Huntley and Skylar Thompson, who thought those games were going to be that close? Everyone thought they were going to be big spreads and be big blowouts. The Bengals were a 9-point favorite, and the Bills were like a 14-point favorite. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. Division games are tough. So the Chargers coming up here, like you said, would have been a hell of a game, would have been a good matchup. It's like playing your older brother. Like, you know him, he knows you. I know what you like to do, you know what I like to do. There's no hiding or getting away from it. There's only so many nuances you can bring out. So definitely playing a division opponent three times a year is always tough because they just know everything about you, and it's hard to try to get an edge on them because they know every little thing you're going to do. So to play a team twice in a year is going to be tough as well, but I'd much rather play an opponent that's not used to seeing us twice a year, every year, than rather see someone we've only played twice in the last, what, like 3 years? So
Right. I think the time
– I'd much rather play them.
The time before that this year was the Sammy Watkins game where he had – where he had three touchdowns.
Yep.
But just for reference, you know, going back to that week 10 game, the Chiefs did beat the Jaguars 27-17. Mm-hmm. Mahomes threw four touchdowns. You know, they were up 27-10 in the fourth quarter. You know, it was kind of a snoozer as far as Chiefs games go this year, because the Chiefs seemed to play everyone close, but they did handle business that week. And, you know, Trevor Lawrence wasn't bad, but some of those numbers are a little inflated because they were behind the whole time throwing up. Mm-hmm. What do you expect differently from this Jaguars team this time around from what we saw back in week 10?
I think they're going to try to set the tone. Well, I think last time we played them, we held Travis Etienne to under like 60 yards that week. So our defense
I think he had under 50. Really good. I think he had under 50
that week. And obviously they went into this game, and obviously Trevor Lawrence came out the gate throwing the ball and a lot of unfortunate passes that got tipped to some flags that could have got thrown, or obviously a ball that got tipped by the D lineman and then just fell out of the sky into the linebacker's hand. So if I'm Doug Peterson, you know what he's going to do the first drive, Chris. He's going to try to establish the run. You just saw your quarterback get all shaken up during the first quarter of that game, making bad reads, making bad mistakes. Some unfortunately didn't go his way, but I highly expect them to run the ball this week. They're going to try to set the tone and try to establish that run game this week, get the O-line settled in, get Trevor Lawrence, most importantly, get him settled in so you don't have to depend on guys like Evan Engram and Zay Jones and Christian Kirk. They're going to make their plays. They're good players, but you don't want to have to get them going the entire game. Try to get Trevor Etienne in the game going early, because we know Trevor and Travis are a good combo. And use Trevor's legs. Like, Trevor can run. I don't think people forget that. Like, I know he's 6'6 and he's lanky, but he can run the ball a little bit. So I fully expect Peterson to get the run game heavily involved this week for sure.
Yeah, I think that's any time a young quarterback is, you can't make one dimensional. I don't care how good of a quarterback you are and how well you're playing. Unless you're, I guess, Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen seem to do a pretty good job when they go away from the run game. But Trevor Lawrence isn't quite in that air yet. So need to keep it balanced. You know, stopping ETN is where it starts. And like you just said, like, if Trevor goes out there and, you know, ETN can't get any yards like last time, and Trevor goes and, you know, lights him up for almost 400 yards and 4 touchdowns, you know what? There's nothing you can really do about that. I would much rather that happen than look at the box score and see ETN's got 125 yards, averaging, you know, 5.5 a pop with a touchdown or two. Like, that's where the Chiefs' focal point needs to be, because the wide receivers aren't special. I mean, they're solid. They're a lot like like the Chiefs' wide receiver group.
Nothing special.
Mm-hmm. It's, you know, they got some solid guys that will make some plays, but also will miss some plays.
Mm-hmm.
So make Trevor beat you with that. That's kind of where I'm at from the Chiefs' defense is don't get beat by the run. It's weird to say because all anyone's been talking about is Trevor Lawrence, and that's where all the credit is when talking about the Jaguars as go. So it feels weird to say that, but
that's
where I'm feeling on this game on the defensive side for the Chiefs.
No, absolutely. Coming to this game, it's going to be a good matchup. And obviously their defense gave up a lot of big plays to the Chargers in the first half, and the Chargers kind of gave up on their run game, and they tried to beat them over the top. And besides the short field they were getting via the turnovers, which is really why the Chargers even got that lead, they moved the ball pretty decently. But outside of, like, those picks, the Jaguar defense pretty much held them to only 3 points in the second half. I don't think they crossed the 50 maybe 2 or 3 times that whole second half. So the Jaguar defense came to play. They obviously tried to get him off the field and try to force your quarterback into bad throws, and they try to force Herbert into holding on to the ball because we know he's not the best runner after post play, which he is athletic, which I don't know why he doesn't choose to run more. But he definitely tried to force a lot of balls in that moment as well. So they have some athletic DBs. We saw Cisco, how he got involved. They got Tyson Campbell, Jenkins. They got some guys that can run, that can hit. So you know they're gonna be juiced up for the rematch based off all of the circumstances that happened in our previous game. So it's gonna be a fun matchup. And we still got to block the obvious guys like Trayvon Walker, Josh Allen, Kayshon. So it's definitely gonna be a good matchup for sure.
Right, and looking at the Chiefs' offense, that's one thing to where I don't think the national media is going to talk about it at all, but the Chiefs fan base and the Chiefs are very aware of the safety for the Jaguars. Cisco is the one who gave Juju the concussion, also took a cheap shot on MVS in that game that didn't get called. That's remembered. You know, those guys remember that happen. Those remember him. They remember him headhunting.
Absolutely.
And I think that's, you know, for anyone who thinks in the national media thinks this game isn't going to be as fiery is maybe the Bills Bengals, because, you know, there's not real history with the Jaguars, and, you know, long-term recent success isn't as prevalent with the Jaguars. Mm-hmm. No, those boys are going to be fired up in there to get back after this team that
absolutely,
just to prove that they're still the top dog, that the Chiefs are still that, you know, this isn't the Jags conference at all. And B, that whole Cisco stuff, because, man, that sticks with you when you see, like, we've seen all the Hamlin stuff, and that's obviously the worst of it. But still, Juju went down and was motionless after that hit to his head.
He was sitting there for a while, too.
That stuff sticks with you as a player. Like,
you never want to see your brother laying on the ground like that, especially after a quote-unquote, like bad call or a cheat, especially when they threw the flag, Chris, and you didn't pick it up. So you initially thought it was a bad hit, then you're like, no, it wasn't that bad. Well, based off what?
Right. You saw him laying on the ground, not moving?
Oh, no, he's just laying there, so it's not that bad. I'm like, that should make it even worse. So you don't want to be the one. Like, and we always know there's going to be bad calls and missed calls, but the obvious one's like, okay, it was head-to-head contact. Like, it always should be a call. Like, you can't do that in the NFL nowadays. So, guys, remember, like you said, guys are going to try to set the tone, and obviously you don't need any extra motivation given the fact it's a playoff game. We know what it is. They know what it is for us. We're trying to get to where we want to go. We want to get back to that moment and have a chance to hoist that Lombardi again. And it's just the next team that's in your way. And obviously they have some history, and they're going to come in here. They're going to be, and I think they're going to be coming off so much high emotion, Chris. I don't know if they're going to be able to match it, because you just had like the craziest comeback. I think that was the third highest comeback in playoff history.
Yeah. NFL. We don't need to talk about one of the ones ahead of them.
unfortunately. But no, being involved in a game like that, it was just so much to get back into that game. And they had to overcome so much adversity, even though they put it on themselves. to have to go on the road and come into Arrowhead in this environment, I can just – Arrowhead's going to be so loud on Saturday, bro. It's going to be rocking. The crowd is going to be crazy. It's going to be so much energy. It's going to be hype. It's going to be amazing. I'm so excited to see everyone on Saturday and to see how Arrowhead's going to be ready for this playoff run. Because we know how Arrowhead gets and how the Chiefs get when it's playoff moments. Like, when you playoff Mahomes and Kelce and Andy Reid get in their bag and they know it's January football, they just go to another level. And I think the kind of the young guys and the new faces to the team are going to be able to experience that, this energy this team and the city brings when it's time to win and when it's money time. So I'm super excited for the matchup for Saturday.
No, yeah, it's gonna be great. And there's that stat floating around that, you know, Trevor Lawrence has never lost on a Saturday. So so that'll be interesting to see.
Plenty of games don't count, Trevor.
Right. And you know what the biggest matchup, and it always seems to be the biggest matchup, but there's no one on the Jaguars that can even remotely cover Travis Kelce.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, when you play the Chargers, like Derwin James can cover him. When you play some of these teams, like, you know, there's some guys that can, you know, slow him down and hold their own. Jaguars had nobody like that on their defense. We saw him go, and he only had 80 yards and a touchdown. I say only. He had 80 yards and a touchdown in a snooze game. Like, this game's
a boring game.
Right. This game's going to be competitive. Like, 87 is going to eat. And if 87, you know, is getting triple teamed because that's the only way the Jaguars can slow him down, then we're going to see 19 out there making people juke out of their shoes. We're going to see Juju over the middle. We're going to, you know, Mecole Hardman's going to be back. Like,
Nico's back.
I don't think double teams are going to work for the Jaguars against Travis Kelce. So they have to put more attention. Everyone else is going to be able to eat. So that's my biggest thing, is I don't see any way the Jaguars can slow down the Chiefs passing game except for their pass rush. That's the only way. But these corners and these linebackers, man, if Pat has, you know, 2.5, 3.5 seconds, it's going to be – he's going to throw for 4 touchdowns again and 350 yards or whatever it was from last
year. Absolutely. This is going to be the first time we get to unload this offense with everybody fully healthy. Mecole's back. KT is more comfortable in the offense now than he was back in week 10, week 9. Obviously, we got Juju in the lineup as well. Travis Kelce's ready to go. All of our linemen got some rest. I know Tooney had a little ankle injury that was bothering him, so he got ready to get back off the injury report. So that's good to see. It's just to get everybody back in rhythm, get everybody going. Jared McKinnon and then Pacheco are definitely in rhythm. They've been playing some of the best ball down the stretch, and we all know how Jet dominated December. So to get everybody back on the field and get a week off to prepare and look at this team and try to notice some of their weaknesses, I can only imagine what Andy and EB are cooking up, man. You know how I feel about the red zone. I feel like that's when you can get your most creative with plays. But it brings, at the end of the day, you just want to be physical and establish the line up front. And giving this offensive line a week off and Coach Andy Heck with the offensive line and getting those guys ready and getting them locked in, they can definitely look at the weaknesses and look at things they can exploit this week. And at the end of the day, when we run the football, Chris, we know how this goes. When we run the football, we can beat anybody. Nobody's going to stop us moving the ball down the field. 15 can make every throw. 87 is virtually unguardable. And when we're moving that ball, getting 4 or 5 yards a pop, with all this speed we got on the field now, this is the first time we're going to see Tony and Mecole, man. Whew. It's going to be exciting. I'm really excited to see the kind of personnel and the packages they bring out this week.
Yeah, the Mecole and KT are going to show why it's illegal to have two guys moving at the same time. Because you can't do those double motions, but man, I wish you could, because that'd be something with those guys running. But the other thing people forget about that Jags game is the Chiefs lost the turnover battle 3-0.
We did turn the ball over 3.
But the Jaguars did not turn the ball over that game. Mahomes threw a pick. Jody Fortson fumbled on a kickoff, and Pacheco fumbled in that game. And so Chiefs were – like, I get it that the Jaguars are playing a lot better than they were, you know, 2 months ago.
Absolutely.
But the Chiefs didn't even play a very good game. Like,
they still beat them.
Honestly, compared – you know, they didn't play their best, I should say. They still played fairly well. And they still controlled that game, and you just got to be feeling good for – Trevor Lawrence has played 6 bad quarters of playoff football. I know that Titans game in Week 18 technically doesn't count as a playoff game. Mm-hmm. That was a win or go home game. So I'm counting those 4 quarters. He played bad in those 4 quarters. Yeah. He played bad in the first half against the Chargers. So are you going to trust this kid with 2 good quarters of playoff football in Arrowhead against Patrick Mahomes? That's kind of where it starts. That's where it stops. Like, that's – should just take care of business, knowing the Chiefs will probably be closer than it needs to be. But there's a lot of reasons to feel really good about the Chiefs this week.
No, absolutely. You said, I fully expect Doug Peterson to come in. Like we said, that first matchup, what did they do the first kick of the game? Onside? I don't know where. No one saw that coming. Dougie P pulling something out of his bag. So I fully expect him to have anything to be going on this week. He'll probably have some fake punts in there, probably throw in some reverses, some throwback passes. He'll definitely have a lot in store for us. We know how Dougie P likes to get down. He's obviously coming off the Andy Reid tree, coming back home, so you know he's excited for the matchup as well. It's always good to go back home and play your former team. I fully expect them to run the ball, like you said, Chris, and try to get him involved. And Evan Ingram's been huge for them. I know he had a big game last week, so they're going to try to get him involved a lot. So I think that's a good matchup for maybe like Willie Gay or Brian Cook to see who matches up with him. Because outside him and Christian Kirk are the two main guys that they want to go to. And then they like to take their shots down the field to Zay Jones. So I think Justin Reed and Cook are going to have to be ready for that play as well. But, Juan Thornhill and the safety is going to be huge this week because they like to use Evan Ingram a lot. He's going to be one of the key guys outside of ETN who – they're going to run the ball a lot this week. So if we stop the run and get him in third and long, if Trevor throws even one interception, Chris, I think this is a lock. But if he throws two, I think we blow him out, honestly.
Right.
That's just not what it is. You can't turn the ball over in Arrowhead. To get that crowd juiced up, like Chris said, more than it's already going to be, giving Mahomes extra possessions, God forbid you give him a short field, it's going to be a wrap. So.
Right. And we're going to get into the rest of those games, especially with like the Bills, Bengals here in a minute. But I know we normally do this for the end, but I figure since we're done for the most part talking Chiefs here, you got a score prediction already? I know it's only Monday night when we're recording this, but
they got the line at 8.5 right now.
8.5, 51.5 is the over under. You've been hot recently, so
I've been cooking. I'm trying to think. I do like the over. I like the over for sure.
Yeah.
8.5. Like you said, we don't really cover too much. It really depends on that. Because if he gives us a turnover or two, if we win the turnover battle, we're definitely gonna blow him out. But if it's like a one turnover game or no turnover game, it'll be close. So I'm gonna say this score, given the fact that we get one turnover via fumble or pick. I don't know how it's gonna be, but I think we get a turnover this week. I'm gonna go Chiefs 31, Jaguars 23.
Okay. I'm in that same realm. I'm in like the third. I don't think they cover because 8.5 is a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm still going to have them win by 8 just because I think the scoring will be a little weird because Doug Peterson's probably going to go for 2 at some point.
He's going to go for 2. Yeah.
So I think it'll be like 34-26. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I'm feeling. It's going to be close for the most part, but it also might be, you know, two scores for the most part. And then the Jaguars will score and they'll be like, all right, if the Chiefs don't do something, you know, that kind of narrative, like to where it ends up being, you know, 6-8 point game by the end of it, but 34-26 is what I'm feeling.
Okay.
Feeling good. Like, no more nerves than normal for playoff games.
Exactly.
You ain't a football fan if you're not. We could be playing, you know, whoever. We could be playing.
Live for this, Chris.
We could be playing Kansas, the Jayhawk football team this weekend. There'd still be, you know, a little playoff nerves buzzing. So outside of that, though, I'm feeling pretty
good. Shout out to the Jayhawks, baby.
Oh, man. But. A lot of other good stuff going on. Let's just get into the game that I think most of America is excited for, and that's going to be the Bengals and the Bills in Buffalo, which, first off, I think it's kind of whack that game's in Buffalo. What do you think?
I completely agree. Making the AFC Championship game neutral when the game that decided everyone's fate was the Buffalo and Cincinnati game. So if any game should be neutral, it should be that game, Chris. I completely agree.
Well, and here's how I would have done it. And I know this is old news at this point, but it's kind of been brought up again just because they're playing each other. When they were making the rules, they should have put a clause in there to have been like, okay, if the Bengals and Bills play each other in the playoffs, that's actually going to be the neutral site game.
Yeah, they should be neutral. Exactly. Rather, why would they be neutral when we weren't playing?
And Chiefs fans aren't going to like this, but Chiefs were still going to get the bye. They're still going to be the one seed, but – because the Bengals-Bills is the neutral site game, if the Bills would have won, that AFC championship would have been in Buffalo. I know Chiefs fans would have had a fit, but I think that this game should have served in its own weird way as the makeup for Week 17, exactly, where the Bills relinquished their own destiny and gave it to the Chiefs. So, like, I don't know. Am I being the crazy here thinking that's how it should have done? The Chiefs still would have gotten the bye, which I think is almost the most important part. But they'd actually be going to Buffalo if Buffalo beat Cincinnati. Well, Cincinnati would still be coming to Kansas City. Is that logical?
No. Like that choice they gave us, do you want home field advantage or do you want to buy?
Right.
What you just gave us the choice of. If you get the buy, okay. That means if you get the AFC Championship game, it probably won't be at home. Or you could guarantee your way at home, but you had to play all three games.
Yeah.
So and I'm with you, Chris. I'd rather have a bye any day of the week. I don't care whether the AFC Championship game is in. in Atlanta. I don't care if it's in Buffalo. As long as we get that game off to give our guys a chance to rest and only have to play two games to get to where you want to go in Arizona, I'll take that every day of the week.
Right. I know. Old news I was just thinking about when people were talking about the bye, and I was like,
it's going to be a good game. What did you see from the two teams? Because both games were closer than a lot of people thought, Baltimore, Cincinnati, and Buffalo, Miami.
I saw two teams that were a lot like the Chiefs, where they're better than everyone else. You know, they do things where you're like, that's why people talk about them the way that they are. Mm-hmm. They have their own flaws, and for the Bengals, it's really just unfortunate, unlucky. You know, they've lost three linemen in the last 5 weeks.
Man, like that's that. Crazy.
That's their biggest flaw. Otherwise, they might have, you know, blindfold walked their way to the Super Bowl because that's how well they were playing to that. Meanwhile, the Bills just can't get out of their own way with Josh Allen, who will look like literally the best quarterback ever on one play. You know, he hit Diggs on a throw, and you'll be like,
wow,
Pat on his best day couldn't do that. You know, like you'll see it the next play. He'll fumble it or throw a pick or make a boneheaded play that, and it's like, bro, that's their biggest issue right now.
No, absolutely. When you have a guy like that who you depend on to make so many good plays, you just have to. You can't turn the ball over in big moments, like we just said with Trevor Lawrence and throwing four interceptions. You can do that versus the Chargers. Mm-hmm. You turn the ball. Now you're playing the big boys now in the division around. You turn the ball over against Mahomes, Allen, or Burrow, you're going to lose.
Right.
The one turnover in the Ravens-Bengals game was the game-deciding factor, the fumble on the goal line. If the Ravens sneak and get that ball in, they go up 24-17 instead of being down 24-17. That's almost similar. It's kind of funny. That's the third time the Bengals this year have had a game being decided on a fumble. When they played us and Travis Kelce put the ball on the ground, they played the Patriots in New England.
Yeah.
Jerry Stevenson fumbled like on the 10-yard line, I believe.
Yeah.
Now, last night, Tyler Huntley on the goal line, game on the line. They could have kicked the field goal or scored, fumbled on the goal line. They ran it back for a touchdown. You cannot fumble the football against good football teams ever, but even more so in the playoffs, because you're giving them momentum. And you could just see all the momentum go from Baltimore to Cincinnati on that play. It's kind of like with us and Kelce fumble. All the momentum went to Cincinnati. We were rolling at that point, and we just gave it all back. And you just can't do that. Game-changing plays, that energy, that momentum is real. You don't want to let that go, especially when you're rolling at the end of the game, because it's hard to get it back.
And I don't want to discredit what the Bengals have done over the last year and a half, but some of it's been luck, and that's part of everything. The Chiefs have been lucky on their Super Bowl runs apart. Like, that's part of playing football.
Part of
like,
the game. Exactly.
You know, they get these fumbles, you know, they get the luck of Mahomes playing the worst half of his career in the AFC Championship. Like, you know, they get these little things that kind of happen. And now, since that Week 17 game's been canceled, everything went against them. They're losing some guards. They're losing some linemen. And it's like, that's luck. It's kind of leveled itself out, you know, after everything was going right for them for 12 to 18 months. Now it's kind of catching up to them. And that's just the NFL. And I think we're going to see if the Bengals beat the Bills, which they very much could. That's a big testament to them, just because we've seen what it's like trying to overcome bad tackle play.
Facts.
And it doesn't look very pretty. So we'll see how the Bengals are able to do that against the Bills. Who do you like more? Who do you like the most?
I mean, they've been going through a lot. The Bengals, like you said, last year they had the game versus the Raiders when that touchdown could have got called back. And obviously the Titans game where they got sacked 9 times. And now you play a backup quarterback in the Ravens who literally had the game in their hands. And then they fumble it. Like, I was like, man, the Bengals really shouldn't even be in this moment. But like you said, they just keep finding ways to be resilient. And I have to respect that, to find their way. So I've been saying it since the Monday night matchup, Chris. The Bengals are the better team than the Bills. I'll take the Bengals over that roster every day of the week. I just think they're better. But I just have a feeling the way everything's lining up with unfortunate travesty for DeMar Hamlin, all of their prayers and thoughts are out to him. We're glad to see him doing well as well. But for just everything to be lined up for the Bills, they could have lost the 2 seed. They could have lost home field. They got to keep it. They found a way to beat Skylar Thompson after Jalen Waddle just dropped 3 passes out of nowhere. Tyreek Hill dropping the ball. I'm like, why y'all all of a sudden can't catch the ball now? But okay.
Right.
So everything was just lining up for them. So it's just like, and now they're favoriting, like, the Bengals should win this game. But, Chris, I'm not – I think there's a fix, man. I think the Bills are going to win, honestly.
I don't think there's a fix, but I'm with you. I'm with you.
It's lining up for the Bills, man. You got – and just so everyone knows, the news came out today. Your favorite ref in the whole NFL, Mr. Carl Sheffy Sheffers, a.k.a. he shouldn't be working in a Foot Locker, is going to be reffing the Buffalo Bills-Cincinnati Bengals game on Sunday. So it's going to be very, very interesting. Like I said, I would, if from a football perspective, I think the Bengals should win this game, but I'm going to bet the Bills win just because I just feel like the narrative is already out there. And I'm riding with it, Chris.
This is, I don't know, it's from, I saw this on Twitter, so I don't know how accurate it is, but I did see that Josh Allen is 6-1 in games that Sheffer officiates.
That's a big number.
So, I mean, it's a little, it's, and I think Joe Burrow's like 1-3 or something like that, I also saw. So that's that whole fixed narrative, you know, is it crazy? I'm not willing to say that yet, but I mean, when the Miami head coach is vaping on the sideline, maybe there
is hilarious.
maybe there's some truth to the fix, you know. Can't get a play in.
All right, guys, we're gonna go 12 personnel. All right, we're gonna go 22.
No, in all serious though, I know we're jumping around a little bit, but like on that Miami game, everyone was blaming Mike McDaniels for how that went down at the end. But it's like Ed Oliver faked an injury, and also the refs told them initially, Miami sideline initially, that it was first down, not fourth and inches. So those two things going on with the third string quarterback. I mean,
that's a lot to deal with, man.
That's a lot, bro. You don't know if it's a stoppage of play. You don't know if it's a first down or fourth down. And then you got to get this
injuries and stuff. What are we doing?
Right. And they always talk about, anytime you watch any football documentary ever, and they talk about young quarterbacks, they talk about the biggest change is the complexity of the play calls from college to, it can be, I mean, outside of maybe saying QB sneak, but you know what I'm saying? Like the complexity of the play calls with the personnel and the motions and the checks and all that that's involved in calling it, it's a lot to remember as a young quarterback. So I don't know why everyone's so quick to yell at the Miami head coach for, you know, it was an issue all game that they were getting plays in slow. And I have a hard time believing that when it hasn't been an issue all year, seemingly, when we watch Tua and Teddy in there, that it's all the head coach just finally decided that he's going to be really slow getting the calls in.
I get this kid so much. I can only get him ready so much in a week. Like, what more do you want me to do? Like,
right, right. And I think that's just been a very swept under the rug. I don't know how many people listening actually care, but like, it just bugs the crap out of me that we're all blaming the head coach. And it's like, it's not really anyone's fault. It's just they were put in a bad situation. You have a sixth round quarterback trying to learn on the fly.
Second football game in the NFL.
Second football game. Like, and you know what? You know, he was decent at K-State, but he also had two Spawn back there, which is a big help in college football, you know, with play calling and stuff. You know, he didn't quite have, you know, the complexity of motioning Tyreek Hill around formations and doing that. Like,
plays with 12 words instead of like four.
Yeah,
it's a lot more to say when you're saying 22 Jet Monster. Like, it's a lot to say that, and you got to get it. You have to get it in your headset. People are yelling in your ear.
Yeah, it gets cut off at 15, and
then you got to say a kill play. Then you got to go a check with me. You got to say the protection where we're sliding, Chris. Then we got to go to snap count, and all this got to do in like 20 seconds. They didn't reset the clock. You got Jet Monster dropping passes.
The slot receiver's like, oh, what do I do on this one? You know, he's asking him questions like, what? Like, you know, there's someone always like that
for your job. That's like, why I tell people the quarterback position is the hardest position in sports. I don't care what no one says. I have to do my job hearing it from the coach, and I got to tell 10 other grown men what to do, and they don't even remember their job while I got 80, 70,000 people yelling in my ear. And it's like, I got to do all this in 20 seconds, and you're tired.
Right.
And it's cold.
I just had to get on my soapbox a bit about it because, like,
bro, playing quarterback is not easy. All y'all need to go on the huddle and then come back and talk to me, Chris.
And people are like, why didn't you just make the, you know, people
are real. Like, yeah,
why don't you make the play calls or call plays that are easier for your young quarterback to understand? It's like, well, if we only did that, then it would be already 45-3 right now.
Like, we go and run three plays.
Right. Like, it's just
run plays that work.
Yeah, just go to a college style. Okay, if you go to a college style where there's no checks and no all of this other stuff, then
we're probably going
to
get blown out.
You're going to get blown out the water. So, like, I don't know. It bugged me enough to where
football Twitter is funny, bro. Why didn't you just do this? I'm like, all right.
Dude, I kept typing up tweets too to put out about it too, and I just could never get myself to actually do it because A, I knew it'd fall on deaf ears, and B, like, just isn't that big of a deal. But since we were talking about it,
I'll retweet it, Chris. I hear you, bro. I'm listening. Everybody always argues. You don't know how many texts I get during the game. CJ, why didn't they just run this? I'm like, bro, I want them to run that too. It's not that easy. Like, yeah. Why does everyone think defenses don't get paid? They're good players too. Defensive coordinators make calls just like your offensive coordinators make calls. They're trying to stop us. They win sometimes. It's okay. Right.
This has gone completely off the rails, but like from what we were going to talk about. But anyway, do you remember there's that video that's been circulating around with Bill Belichick talking and Ed Reed talking about that pick off Peyton Manning, where Ed Reed watched so much film that he knew if Peyton did this, Peyton, you know, you have to see it obviously to really understand, but Ed Reed knew from watching film against Peyton Manning that if Ed Reed went a certain way, Peyton was going to throw it to another place, and he just instinctively turned around, just trusting what he had watched on film, and got an interception on Peyton Manning. And Bill Belichick calls it the best defensive play he's ever seen. Like, defenses make plays and watch film and know what's going to happen when you line up in certain formations. You know, I know I told that in the longest way possible, but point is, like you said, defenses get paid too. It's really hard to run successful offense.
But everyone scores 40 every week, Chris. How come you score 40?
The rules say that. The rules allow that.
It's so easy, but when such and such does it, how come we can't do it?
Oh my gosh!
I think some fans really want, Chris, it to be like 50-0, and you can't make no mistakes.
Oh my gosh!
I think that's how some fans want football games to go. They really think that other teams can't make plays too.
Those are the same fans that think Georgia would beat the Texans. Like,
Georgia would beat the Texans. Yeah. Those are grown men playing. All right, bro, you got it. Yeah. You telling me a 19-year-old is going to beat a grown man who's 30, who's been playing football for the last 12 years? All right, go ahead, you got it. Like, you got it.
Thank goodness we tell all of our Chiefs only fans that we were done around the 15-20 minute mark of this podcast. So they're probably already peaced out anyway. So they already listened to us talking about
and everyone who stick around letting us
yelling about random stuff.
I hope you're riding, listen to us in the car or in your house, wherever you're doing.
Old men yell at clouds. We ain't even old, but we're doing an old man yells at clouds segment right now.
That's what we're doing today. That's what we're doing today.
Oh goodness gracious. Okay. Brief talk about the NFC. Now we'll get back on track here a little bit. We don't at this time know who the Niners are playing, whether it's going to be the Cowboys or the Bucks. Either way, I think we're destined for Eagles Niners NFC Championship.
I know. And we pretty much said that the whole way. Maybe there can be some outliers that can come in, like the Giants are on a historical run right now, because you remember the last time they were 9-7. What happened in 2012 and 2007? So
succeed,
They've had some things, and some crazy things have happened up in New York, Jersey. Their team's not in New York technically. they've had some crazy runs when they're underdogs and they're the 60s, and now they're playing another underdog story going into Philly, being the team coming off the bye. And then we have obviously we're recording this episode on a Monday, so we're waiting to see what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys do, because whoever essentially wins that game is going to go play the San Francisco 49ers. So that's another good matchup as well. But, yeah, like me and Chris have said, I pretty much think it's going to be the Niners versus the Eagles. I think the Eagles should win this weekend against the Giants. The Giants had a great game, great game plan. Dable did exactly what I thought he was going to do against Minnesota, establish the run, use Daniel Jones' legs, keep Kirk Cousins off the field, force him to have to make tough throws, throw the ball anybody outside of Justin Jefferson, and he did that. So now you got a hot Giants team coming into Philly. Philly's rested up. Obviously, we all want to see the big question, how does Jalen Hurts look coming off the injury? Because he didn't look too hot in the Week 18 season finale for the regular season. So the Niners pretty much dominated Seattle. It was interesting for a quarter? I'll give him halftime. It was interesting for a half.
No, it was – people forget it. It was actually for three full quarters, because Geno was about to go and tie the game up, and then
he fumbled.
And that's where – that was with 2 minutes left in the third quarter. And, I know the final looks ugly, but if they kick a field goal, I think it's 23-20 or something like that at that point. But if they score a touchdown, we're talking about how, this was a good game the whole way through, but it was three quarters.
They fought a lot harder than you thought it was going to be. Just, once they got that turnover late in the third, it just extended and extended and extended.
Yeah, it looked ugly real fast.
The dam broke and everything just bursted out for them. So it's going to be a matchup, honestly. I want to see San Fran Philly, because that's what everyone wants to see. I don't see New York beating Philly at all. I think Philly's going to go in there and handle their business. It's going to be a tough game. I think the spread at 8.5. I think Philly keeps it close. Or not Philly, New York keeps it close.
Yeah, division game.
We just saw three division games or two division games this weekend, and they're all dogfights. Mm-hmm. So, and I highly expect Daboll to go in with a good game plan to try to keep Jalen Hurts and that offense off the field.
Right.
Who do you think, as far as like Monday, who do you think as far as the Tom Brady, the fighting Tom Brady's versus the fighting Dak Prescott's, who do you think would give, unfortunately, who would give the Niners a tougher game?
It's the Cowboys. If the Cowboys play at their best, the Cowboys are way better than the Bucks. Now, the only thing the Bucks have going for them is they have the greatest player of all time at quarterback still. So, but the Cowboys are a talented team that are called the Dallas Cowboys, though. So no one has real faith in them doing anything.
Do you really have faith in them?
Like, I don't know, man. I think it's whack that they have this Monday night game, and I'm pretty sure they play Saturday. Isn't that the late game Saturday, or is it Sunday?
I think Philly plays on Saturday with us.
Oh yeah, you're right. You're right. Either way, though, the Niners haven't played since Saturday.
Yeah, they get an extra day,
and they're gonna get to play. They get two extra days.
Yeah.
For the team that plays tonight, like I think that's kind of crazy. I'm not a huge.
Makes it even worse. They got to travel all the way to the West Coast.
Right, right. And if it's the Bucks, yeah, that's a long flight. And, well, it's not a short flight from Dallas either. So 49ers got a lot going for them in this game to where I don't really think it matters who goes out there. I think it's going to be very similar to the Seahawks game. It might be close early, but late, that talent the Niners have, they're just going to turn it on. And
absolutely.
So
I completely agree. I fully expect the Niners and the Eagles to handle their business. I expect that to be the NFC Championship game, and then we will see how the AFC plays out. Man, it's gonna be a lot of good football this year. I will be at the game. I will be attending.
Surprise, surprise!
Never had in a while, man. I need to come see my friends again. My friends in my section probably miss me.
So. All those betting tips you're probably giving out too.
Yeah, I tell people, man. I put some on the timeline. I made some good money this weekend, Chris.
Uh-huh. I saw. I like our listeners should do. I follow you on Twitter, believe it or not, and I see all that. So
I'm trying to get a little money, man. I'm just trying to help the people out, man. I ain't no big baller. I made a couple bucks, $100 here and there. You know, get some gas money.
There you go.
I'm super excited for this matchup, man. I know the Jaguar fans are going to be hyped to come back into KC, and I'm so excited to see this offense full throttle, man. To see everybody be on the field, O-line healthy, an extra week for Pat and then Andy to cook up in the lab for some new plays, new formations, and just the most exciting factor is KT and Mecole, bro. Because I know everyone's kind of worried in this offseason, will we bring back Mecole? But just living in this moment, we can see these guys on the field for the next three possible games, man. It's going to be so much fun. I'm so excited to see this offense for the next month, man. I'm so hyped. That's why I have so much confidence in us going forward, on top of the fact we have 15. But the fact that we have so much speed and versatility now, Jared McKinnon is playing at the top of his game. He's healthy. Pacheco's healthy. Everybody's running hard. I'm sure Travis wants that Lombardi more than anyone, so. It's gonna be such a good game on Saturday, man. I can't wait.
It's gonna be awesome, and I'm sure. Oh, you'll be at the game, but I'm sure you'll get your tweets off too. Where can the people find that?
They can definitely follow me on Twitter at CGZ81. That's CJEEZY81. My DMs are open if you guys need to talk about betting lines. If you want to talk about fantasy, even if your fantasy teams are over. If you want to talk about spreads, props, anything that you like, definitely. And follow our page at AftermathKC. Chris, me and Chris do a great job of running the page. We try to have as much content as we can. We don't want to get flagged by anybody. I try to post some clips and try to post plays, but the NFL is kind of a little stingy on what you can and cannot post. I don't want to get us any warnings or anything. So I try to get my input on my comments and my opinions on things as well. So just try to help out people as much as I can. But Chris does a great job of following the page and helping us out, and definitely doing a good job of posting all the fancy quotes and the fancy posts. And the titles, those all come from Chris, everyone. It's not me. I don't come up with the titles. That's all Chris.
So my only real contribution, and I don't know how well it hits. I got a couple people that like them, but I know last week's was good. What was it? It was like, you know, since it was the ring around the rosy, I was doing the ring around the AFC West. Like,
I didn't do it. You're the creative guy. I do the football
stuff. We'll see how it goes. But you can find me at 10penny88. So, you know, always kind of doing the same thing as CJ. Not quite in the betting world like he is, but, you know, try to give my takes on football and, you know, just have fun. You know, that's all Twitter it is. Don't take it too seriously. If I say something stupid or something you disagree with, like, just know I probably don't feel that strongly about it. So, but All right. But as always, we do appreciate you listening. And thank you so much for taking some time out of your day to listen. So that'll do it for us this time. We'll talk to you next
week. Chiefs.
Chiefs.